Our Father, our gracious God in heaven, Thou art the most wonderful God on high, and O Lord, how wonderful are we to be able to think of this hymn and to know that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can stand before Thee, we can cry unto Thee, O Lord, and it is such a wonderful thought that we can begin this morning. Pray, O Lord, that we will echo the words of this hymn also, that all that we will do will be for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, for He is our Redeemer and our Savior, and we are His blood-bought children. And, O Lord, truly, we pray that all our days and hours, all our beings might be given to Thee, O Lord, and we pray that You continue to use us as Thy people. And we pray this morning, as we begin our thoughts with Thy word, help us, O Lord, to dwell on the wonderful thought of our Lord Jesus Christ, our chief shepherd from above. We pray, O Lord, that we belonging to Thy people, we belonging to Thee as Thy sheep, O Lord, how wonderful it is to think also that Thou art our protector, our shepherd, and our guide. And we pray, O Lord, that You continue to protect Thy people. And we pray, too, that we, too, also be watchful. We, too, also be prayerful as we feast on Thy word, that we will learn to be spiritually stronger, that we will stand firm upon Thee, O Lord, for Thy sake and for Thy glory. So guide our thoughts this morning, prepare our hearts rightly for this day, and may You be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. All right, we continue with our study from this passage in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. All right, today the passage is a little bit shorter. Acts chapter 20. All right, reading from verse 28 to 31. Just four verses, actually, so let's read them together. Right, are you all there? Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to verse 31. Let's read these four verses together. Ready? Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Amen. God bless the reading of His most holy and perfect word. All right, and we continue to look at the theme of the missionary. We are in particular looking at the life of the Apostle Paul, summarized for us in his very personal testimony here. Right, and that's what we have looked at yesterday. Remember that these are the words spoken to the Ephesian elders that Paul has called to himself. But just as we started yesterday, we also must remember, right, this is not, again, an exclusive, private, pastoral, secret meeting, right, with the pastors or elders only. Now, this is recorded in the scriptures also for our benefit. Right, and even though this is titled The Missionary Shepherd, right, this is the aspect of Paul's life that we are looking at now. We know that the Apostle Paul, he was called to be a great missionary, a great apostle, writer of the scriptures, founder of many of these churches in Asia. But yet also, we know that God has also called him to pastor over these churches. Sometimes he was able to be there with them, like in the case of Ephesus. He was there with them for 3 years. But in some cities, he was not able to dwell for long with them. So it seems as if he, you know, pastored them very remotely. And that's why he wrote letters, right? That's why we have all these wonderful epistles kept for us. So we know that God has also called Paul to be a shepherd over all these various flocks, all these various churches that he was able to found, right, for the sake of Christ. And so today, as we look at his heartfelt sharing, all right, as a pastor to these Ephesians whom he has loved so much, whom he was able to spend 3 years with, we really see the heart of a pastor to the people. And the thing is this, as we look at these words also, now we also must understand this. How do we then respond also as God's people? How do we also respond as the sheep of God's flock? Right? This is not just a message only for pastors to learn how to be overseers of the flock, how to take care, how to be watchful. But we also learn how to respond, right, as a people, right, under the church of God, right? And please take note also that this applies to every single church member, right? But I also like to emphasize especially, you know, that in every single family, right, you also have overseers in your own family, Right? You also have parents who are supposed to be overseers of the little flock, which is your house, which is your family. Right? So especially for the men, and also, of course, right, the women too. Right? All those who are parents or those who are seeking to be parents in the future. Right? And even for the youths and teenagers, right? I mean, you're looking for a life partner, isn't it, in the future, right? You're praying. And so in the future, as you prepare yourself, right, to lead the home, I think this is a good passage also to think about, because we all have spiritual responsibilities. Right? Those who also serve in the Sunday school ministry, those who serve in the VBS, some of the children here, right? They come from families where not all might be Christians. Some come from non-Christian homes. So where do they get their spiritual guidance from? Right? They have to get it from the church, because the light is not found at home. Right? And so we have all these different situations. And you know, as Paul was giving this charge to the pastors or to the elders of the church of Ephesus, right, this is something that we also have to take note of, right, as a people who are following God's leading, right, as we follow our divine shepherd. So first of all, as you look at verse 28 here, now we are reminded of the church's shepherd. Right? Paul himself was a missionary shepherd. He went around to found and shepherd over many different churches. But we also must understand and know that every single congregation, every single church, belongs to God himself. And we must never ever forget that we have a divine shepherd that looks over us. Sometimes problems arise in many churches because, you know, church members, all of us, right, we as God's sheep, we forget that there is a divine shepherd watching over us. This is why sometimes members, they only see as far as the church leaders. So they strive, they dispute, right? Yesterday we had a discussion question on disputes, the day before, sorry. But, you know, this is happens when people lose sight that there is a divine shepherd who watches over them. And so therefore they arise up in disputing. They start to have arguments, they start to have issues with elders or with pastors, with deacons, with the leadership, with ministry leaders, and they forget that the divine shepherd is actually looking and watching over them. They forget they don't just belong in membership to a church, but they belong, right, to the church of God. Right? They belong to Christ himself, who watches and judges over the church. And so sometimes when people, when we lose sight of this perspective, this is when problems can start to arise. And we lose sight of the big picture. Right, so as Paul, you know, brings this charge to the overseers of the church in verse 28, I'd like to just first look at it, the last phrase of this verse. Now take note of this last phrase, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I'd like to start from this, because we must begin with this perspective. We must understand and know that all of us, if we have belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are bought with his blood. Right? As much as we know, yes, salvation is given freely to us, but yet, it is also paid with a price. You and I are bought with a price, with the most precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, every single one of us down here. And as we gather as God's people, all of us are precious in His sight. Sometimes people will think, oh, who are these elders and leaders? Well, they think they are more precious than the church. And then sometimes it goes the other way around. Church members will think, oh, I'm precious. You see, I'm a sheep, one of God's precious own. And then, oh, the leadership must treat me special. They must really take care of me. And again, the focus shifts to themselves. This is when people have forgotten that every single one of us, we are bought with the same price. We are bought with the same blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must not lose sight of this. And therefore, we are brought into God's own family himself. We are counted as one of God's children. Right? And the church must never, ever lose sight of this. So as we seek to serve in the church, whether you're a leader or whether you're a member, in whatever capacity that you are serving in, always remember this. You're serving amongst God's own blood-bought children, right? Whether whatever position or office or ministry you're found in. Right? And likewise, in every family also, right? Whether you're a parent or whether you're a child, likewise, right? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a little flock, right? The house that is also purchased and bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not lose sight of this in your life. Right? And so, as you look at verse 28, let's come to the front now. Now, so Paul was addressing the church, right? And Paul was addressing these elders, right? And of course, remembering yesterday, right? We have mentioned this. These elders, when they receive this message, is not some secret message that they write down and keep for themselves. Right? All these words of Paul that will become the scriptures for us, these are the words that the Ephesian elders will also bring to the congregation. Right, this will also be taught to the church members. And so it's also for us to take heed. And so Paul tells them, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now, there are quite a few points to take note of down here. First of all, Paul says that they must take heed therefore unto yourselves. But all these leaders, they have to take care of themselves first. Not in a selfish sense, okay, but in this sense where they must be watchful over their own selves. They must understand and know, right, their own position. They must know what they believe in. They must know what they believe in. Right? They must know where their convictions lie in. They must know what are the principles in their life. You know, how do they make decisions in life? All this elders, all these overseers of the flock, right, they must be very sure of this. And they must first of all watch themselves. Because if they don't protect themselves, then who will protect them? If they're not careful about themselves, then that is where Satan will attack by. Right? All Satan has to do is attack one leader, turn one leader, you know, and deceive one leader or, you know, misguide one leader, and then this leader can impact or affect many of the church members. So therefore, that is why always pray for church leaders. It's not easy. Right? It's not something that is very simple to lead. It's not like you're just leading a company or arrange some things, organize some things. Sometimes, you know, in the midst of the busyness of the church, sometimes we can forget this. It's not just some organization. Sometimes we can easily forget about the spiritual aspect of the church. Sometimes we can forget about the greater spiritual battle that's happening. We look at all the little problems here and there. Not that they're not important, all right, but we sometimes have this very worldly and secular thinking that this is just an organization, arrangements, all the various things to, you know, administer and all that. So we must never ever lose sight of this spiritual aspect of the church. So do pray hard for the leaders. And do also pray hard for future leaders. Right? Who will succeed next time in the future? Who are those that are leading the ministries, not just the church session? Right? But pray. Also pray for your own families, your own houses. Are there not also pastors at home where the father is supposed to be a pastor to the house? Now, this is something that, again, the church has sometimes forgotten. Back in my previous church, when I used to serve in the youth ministry, sometimes it gets very, very difficult. There are parents who will come to me or come to some of us serving in the YF, and then they'll come to us and ask us, oh, you know, my son has been attending the YF for all these years, but how come? How come he's still like this? And then sometimes as I face all these questions, it's really hard because sometimes I feel like asking back, this is your own son. I see your son for a few hours on Sunday. I see your son for a few hours on Saturday. That's the only time that I have with him. My interaction with him is so limited. You know, I do not know what goes on in his school. I do not know what kind of friends he has if he doesn't share. I do not know what goes on at home. Of course, I don't answer the parent like this. But it's tough, right? Because sometimes church members, they lose sight that they're supposed to be pastors to their own home. They're supposed to be able to be spiritually strong to lead the children. But sometimes they deflect. Right? They always deflect the church. And everything that happens in the home, it's the church problem. My son is not doing well. You see, the YF is not doing his job to bring up my child. And then they forget that they are the primary people who are supposed to take care of their own children. It happens everywhere, all right? It happens here in Singapore. It happens also in Kenya. I believe it's a common problem everywhere. Right? We're all sinners saved by grace, isn't it? Common problem. And we face sometimes our own troubles. We like to deflect, push the blame. Right? And sometimes the church leaders get it. Of course, not saying that this happens all the time. I hope that it does not happen here in this church in Tabernacle. Right? But I pray. Right? This is why we often encourage the men in the church to be able to lead well, right? To be able to attend Bible studies, attend night classes, to be strong in the Word of God, to be able to lead their houses. Right? And this is one huge problem that faced back in Kenya. You know, I was put in charge of the men's fellowship, and honestly, sometimes it's an uphill struggle. Right? Sometimes look at these men, they're just struggling hard to survive, you know, just to earn a living, just to get by. Sometimes I do not know where their wives are, do not know where their children are. Sometimes they are not very literate, right? They are, their vocabulary is very limited. So even when they read the Bible, they can only understand that much. Right? They themselves, it's difficult. They are really just striving very hard just to earn a living. Very little time just to be able to read the Bible or, to learn the Word of God. It's not safe like in Singapore. You can just travel at night, go for a fellowship or Bible study. They can't do that. At night, they must be at home to protect, watch over their family. and then that's it. Whatever feeding they get from the church, that's what they can only give to their family. And sometimes they are very spiritually disabled in such a way. Very difficult to help some of them. Down here, I believe we are very privileged. You know, we have a certain degree or a certain length of education. All the resources are provided for down here. Many good articles, many good books available. And there's no excuse for us to be ignorant. Sometimes I wonder also, you know, as I prepare for marriage and a family ahead, I'm also quite scared. I'm also quite scared myself, you know, of how to lead a family in the future. Yes, as much as I might have gone through FEBC, I know doctrines, I know this and that, but still, practically speaking, right, to be able to lead a home, to be an overseer of a home, it's a frightening thought. You know, sometimes for us, you know, let's continue always to be mindful of this fact. Right, as we belong to God's flock, as we are overseers in whatever capacity God has put us in, right, whether you're a leader to oversee the church, or whether you're a ministry leader in charge to oversee a certain ministry, or whether you're a parent to oversee the home, any single aspect of this is important because we impact the life of others. Right? And you know, as Paul was exhorting the Ephesian elders here, take heed yourselves. Right? We have to be responsible for ourselves. Don't be quick to blame anyone. Oh, I'm not taught. I'm not given this. I'm not given that. No resource. Anything. Not like that. Right? We have to take care of ourselves. Read the Word of God. Pray. Pray for much faith. Pray for much spiritual strength and wisdom. And then Paul then mentions here, and to all the flock, right, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And actually down here is an encouragement. Because we have the Holy Spirit with us. We have the Comforter with us. We have the Holy Spirit that gives to us all wisdom that is necessary to understand God's Word. Sometimes it's frightening. In my family, we come from a family of non-Christians. My mother was the first to believe. My father only came to believe, I think, about 7 or 8 years later on. And during that time, it was quite difficult for my father to be able to step up to lead the family. Because spiritually compared, you know, to my mother, he's quite far behind. But, you know, he's Chinese educated. At that time, turned out we don't have a Mandarin congregation yet. So he did what he could. Shortly after he came to believe in Christ, you know, he started going for all the Mandarin Bible studies he could find. He attended the Pandan Mandarin service in the morning and tried to find Chinese Bible studies here and there. And he tried his best. Right? And, you know, you ask me now, sometimes as I look at him serving as a deacon, I cannot imagine, right, how God would use him, right, to go that far. Right, he was just, I believe, just his education is not far, to put it that way, very simply. Right, but yet today, he reads the Chinese Bible well. He's able to chair, lead in certain Bible studies even. It's really the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not by himself, right, and as we have heard on Sunday, not by might or power, but by the Holy Spirit. That's all. Right, and likewise, it's an encouragement for you and I also, right, that the Lord will continue to work within us by the Spirit to grant to us wisdom. Pray for the leaders also, that they will have the enabling of the Spirit and wisdom to make the right decisions for the church. Pray also for the parents in the church. And all the families also will be able to make the right decisions in this life. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of God's Word, definitely. Right? And it's the Holy Spirit that has called you to be overseers. Whom God calls, God will enable, surely. If God has called you to be married together, to start a family, then likewise, will not God enable you, right, to be able to have a good Christian home? Right, God will grant you the necessary materials, Word of God with you. You have all the resources. You have people that you can turn to for help, for advice. Right, and you have His Word with you. You have Bible studies you can attend, and you can pray for God's guidance and wisdom, right, to be able to lead a family. And by such, right, they will be able to feed the church of God. And take note, this is the church of God. Now, to be given this high honor, to be able to feed the church of God, is something that is also very frightening. This is a church that belongs to God Himself. Yes, while we know that we have a divine shepherd, right, who has given to us His Word to read, to be able to feed the Word of God to the congregation, to be able to feed the Word of God to your own family, is something that is a great honor, actually. Don't see it as something that is that's a chore to do. I must, you know, have devotion in the family. I must have prayer meeting in my family. So bothersome, you know, have to find time. Don't see it as a chore. It should not be so. Don't see it as something that, I'm inadequate to do. I cannot do it, so I'm not going to do it. Right? It shouldn't be seen that way, but it should be seen as a great privilege, not just to be able to spend a little short time. Yes, you might not be able to preach a full sermon or something. No one is asking you to do that. But just simply to spend time together, to be fed together as a family, right? To be able to read the Word of God. Right? And that is something that all of us should be able to do. Right? So I hope that this is in place, because we know the church is made up of families, right? Greater or smaller. These are the building blocks of the church. The family is not strong. All it takes is one family to be impacted, to fall. And then that causes a great lot of problems in the church. One suffers, all suffers, is the body of Christ. So every family must be strengthened, right? And continue to pray for the families of the church, right? That all will be able to be fed by the Word of God well as a church of God. And what we have looked at just now, remembering always that all of us are the precious blood-bought children of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be able to minister to another child of God. It is a great and wonderful thing, right, to be able to do so. So I pray that all of us, you know, in whatever capacity we are called in, whether you're a father, whether you're a mother, whether you're a session member, whether you're someone in a committee, in a ministry, whatever capacity God has called you to serve in, remember that, you know, you are ministering in the church of God. Right? You have a certain responsibility that, you know, you have to, you and I, we have to account to God Himself for this. And so let us continue to pray for the church, right, that, you know, as our chief shepherd watches over us, let us also, in our spiritual responsibilities, be accountable to Him, to do well for Him. Now, when you look at verse 29 to verse 30, Paul gives a warning to the church here, right? Then this is a threat to the flock, right, that we will find here. It says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves, right, shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Now, we have two aspects down here. Verse 29, this is a threat from without, from outside. Right, from outside, right, some will enter into the church, right? This grievous wolves will enter in, and they will not spare the flock. They will cause trouble amongst the flock. At the same time also, right, within the own church itself, problems also arise. Right? Some will be able to arise, speak perverse things to draw away disciples after them, whether they are misguided believers who are deceived, or whether these are false believers, right? They all fall into this category. So there are dangers from without and dangers within. We must be watchful on both sides. Sometimes we are very quick to watch outside. Oh, you know, oh, these are the influences going around. This is what is happening to Christianity in Singapore. Oh, very difficult to deal with. Right? And then we always look outside. But we forget that within our own selves, we are also very vulnerable. Now, you and I, not just the leaders, right? But every single person is vulnerable. You might be thinking, ah, but I'm just one member in the church. What can I do? Oh, believe me. Right? Just one member of the church can cause a whole lot of problems. And I mean, I do not, again, I'm rather new to Tabernacle. Right? You have a longer history, you might know. Right? And likewise, also in the past in Tenga, right? Just openly and frankly speaking, sometimes all it takes is just a few members of the church to cause a whole lot of problems. Problems within, problems without. Dangers all around. Right? And sometimes we must not lose sight of this. Sometimes we are very complacent. We can think that, we all know each other for so many years, we are fine. A person who has been in the church for 10, 20 years might be fine for 10, 20 years, but sometimes just because of one issue that comes up, the person is not on guard, the person can change. That happens, and can be very frightening. So I grew up in the church as a youth, as a teen, looked up to many of the adults, some of the church leaders, and you know, after 10, 20 years, I thought I know who they are, but just because of some problem, the issue that arises in the church, then suddenly you see a church leader just change roundabout. You never knew that this person had this side to them. And sometimes you just wonder, what happened along the way? Did something change? Is this how the person really is? Or is this person misguided or something? It's frightening. Therefore, be very watchful. Right? Continue to pray that the Lord will protect the church within and without. Right? And likewise, right, as the previous verse has been mentioned, protect yourselves also. Know where you stand at. Know what is your spiritual condition. Don't let yourself be the one that will cause disputings, right? In verse 30 down here. Don't be the one that will be arising and causing perverse disputings. This can happen just from simple complaining and simple gossip, right? They're not talking about, someone comes in and then you infiltrate and then, you slowly rise up the ranks, become a teacher and mislead everyone. Yes, that can happen. But sometimes all it takes is just a little group that starts to gossip, a little group that starts to complain and complain and complain about the church. And from there, you have a faction that will come up, that will not cooperate, that will cause great pain and suffering, right, to the church. That can happen. Right? And don't be one of them. Don't be one of them. Before we start pointing fingers, think of yourself. Right? Don't be one of these people. And, you know, this is something that we all really have to be on guard about. Right? You know, when I was overseas, I don't get a lot of news about Singapore, actually. Right? And something that I receive news a lot about is actually about SMRT, right? I don't know why. For a couple of months, every single day, right, everything, I mean, people keep sharing and sharing about SMRT and how trains are breaking down every day. And so people sometimes, you know, in Kenya, they ask me, oh, so how is Singapore? I don't know what to answer them. Our trains are breaking down every day. And they just stare at me. That's your problem. Yeah, I mean, this is the problem at home. Trains are just breaking down. And of course, you'll say, at least your trains still work, right? You're delayed for a few hours maybe, but they still work the next day. So what do you have to complain about? And that's our, sometimes that's really our character. You know, sometimes those little things that arise, we are quick to raise up issues about it. And then if we're not careful, you know, a little bit of a breakdown every day accumulates, right? And then soon it becomes national news. And then soon, you know, I don't know, everyone's just crying out for blood, right, to bring down the CEOs or whatever. Right? So it's very dangerous. And this is what's happening in the world. And this can happen in the church also. Right? That's why Paul is retelling the church, be on guard. Sometimes you don't need outside influence. We ourselves can be our own bad influence. Right? And sometimes it happens also in families. Likewise also in the YF. You know, sometimes this problem begins also within your own families. Right? Sometimes parents who are in the leadership, what they do is, or not just in the leadership, but sometimes they're involved in the ministries. And at home, they're not careful. They start complaining. Oh yeah, you know, I serve in this ministry. Wow, that person is like this. Oh yeah, that deacon, how come he never helped me? Oh yeah, that elder, how come he never take charge properly? And then, you know who is listening? The bedroom next door, the youth. The child is listening. And then over years, this has an impact on the youth also. Right? All these perverse disputings that arise. Their disputings, all these complaints don't solve anything. In fact, they affect the child. And so this teenager, this youth grows up at home, listening to all these things about the church. Oh, this elder is like this. Oh yeah, this deacon is like this. Oh yeah, this ministry is like that. You think this child will serve in the church in any way? Definitely not. This is a problem in the YF that we face. This is why we found out later on why some of the youths do not want to serve in church. Because every day they hear all these things from their parents who are so active in the church. And soon, along the way, a few years down the road, they leave the church because they will just frankly tell us, this is all I hear about the church. What good is there? And then they leave. Just simple, perverse disputings, day by day, right? Like SMRT, every day, just break down, break down, break down. After a few months, oh, national news. Right? Likewise at home, likewise in the church. Right? Little complaints here and there. But after a couple of years, you might just be able to destroy, right, or spiritually affect the spiritual lives of some who are younger or some who are around us. Sometimes you wonder, why do people not serve? Might it be because of us? Because of our complaints? Sometimes it is that way. Right? This is just an example. Right? There can be many applications to this. But you know, as I was meditating upon all these verses, as I was reflecting also, on my past service in Tengah, and you know, well, I'll be frank, right? That's where I was from. These are some of the things that we face, some of the problems that we face, and sometimes we did not realize until it was too late. We were a small church also. And I hope that these small church problems will not arise again, that we'll be careful, watchful of ourselves, those around us also, right? And let us not be the wolves, all right? I hope there are none here. But if you are a wolf, I mean, if you're a wolf, you'll not raise your hand, I'm a wolf, right? But this is also for encouragement, right? To know that, well, this is the church of God. The divine shepherd watches and guards his own church. So also take comfort to know that God also has his own way of protecting the church. But make sure, right, you guard your own family, guard yourself. Make sure you're not one of those led away by the wolf, right? But make sure you know what is the right path, what is the right way to go, and then just stay firm and strong and press on. Right? Not that there will be no problems in the church. I'm sure there will be. I'm sure there are problems in the church. But do pray. Pray for the leaders, pray for the families, pray for the ministries that all will be strong in the Lord. Right? And pray that God will grant to us good discernment, right? One of the discussion questions that we have. Right? To be able to know and carefully perceive what is happening, right, in the church. Lastly, in verse 31, right, just one last thought from here. Now this is the shepherd's watch. Right? Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, two aspects down here. First is to watch. Right? And this is very simple. It just simply means to watch, be on guard, be alive, be awake, know what is happening. All right? This is active watching, right? Not passive watching. Sometimes you look at, the security guards around. It's passive watching. They sit down there and just zone out. Right? So it's maybe by their presence, right? People are deterred. Oh, there's a security guard there, so let's not try anything funny. That's passive watching. They're just down there. But Christians are not like that. Christians are supposed to be active watching. It means you're actively looking out, right? Actively looking around, being careful about things, actively watching, not just sitting down there, oh, don't worry, I just pray for leadership. Leadership just watch over us and protect us. I just follow along. Not like that. We ourselves also have to be watchful. Right? Because, again, pastors, elders, deacons, they will not know everything that's happening in your own home. They will not know what kind of influences your youths and your children are facing, right, in school or in the neighborhood or around their friends. But you might know. You have an opportunity to find out, right, over dinner conversations, over discussions you can have in your own family. Such things that sometimes the church leadership cannot fully know. So they're just only human. They have their own families also to protect. Right? So it's not an easy thing sometimes. So continue again to be watchful. Right? And also remember. Now remembering is important. Because sometimes we watch, but we forget. We forget what we are supposed to watch out for. We forget what we have learned in the first place. And we forget why we are watching in the first place. Right? So we must remember. And of course, as efficient elders, they must remember doctrines, the teachings that Paul has taught to them for 3 years. Right? Some of you have been in church for many years, decades. And all the things that you have learned, should you not be very prepared by now? Right? It's like, imagine you're a guard who has been trained for 30 years in a church, right? Isn't it? By now you should be very strong. You should be very watchful. Your eyes should be very sharp. You know exactly what is right, what is wrong. You should be in that state, right? A watchman who has been a watchman for many years, he would know. What this guy is suspicious? It's up to no good. Right, in Bible college or so, we have good watchmen. Right? And some of these are very experienced. They know. Right? They're able to spot where the snakes are. Oh, we have a lot of snakes in our college. Right? They're able to kill snakes very quickly. They know. Those who are walking by the school, they're able to spot who are the dangerous people. Sometimes they warn us, you don't go out first, you wait. Right? Because they're experienced. They know. Right? After many years of watching. And you and I, if we have been in the church for some time, we should have remembered a lot of doctrines and teachings that we should know well by now. And we should be able to watch very carefully. We should be able to watch over our own selves by remembering all the things we've been taught. Right? And so let us not forget. Right? And we have no excuse for this. Right? So let us continue to be watchful, remembering the things that we've been taught. And as for Paul himself, right, by the space of 3 years, he ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What Paul is actually telling them is this. For 3 whole years that he was with them, he was always watchful. Right? Now the thing is, he's not going to be with them anymore. So now, they have to be watchful. And he's saying that you cannot stop being watchful. You have to continue to be watchful by yourself. And so, likewise, you and I, it's not something that, that we can ever stop doing. It's not only when problems come up that, we start to be watchful when the issue arises. Sometimes it's too late. Sometimes it's because we are not watchful, that's why problems arise. Because we're not watchful of our own selves, we stumble others, we become a cause of problems because we don't watch and remember. Sometimes we do not watch out for others, we do not, we are not careful to be able to be our brother's keeper sometimes, And then we allow things to happen, right, because we are not watchful. We see the signs, but we do not care. Right? And that's why Paul, he cared. That's why he was watchful over them and he warned day and night with tears. Not just emotions, but I believe this because he really cared. Right, and do not parents pray for their children with tears sometimes? I believe my parents also did at some times when I did not walk close to the Lord. Right? I'm sure I do not see or do not hear their crying in their own bedroom as they prayed. Sometimes when I do not walk close to the Lord, or sometimes when I rebel against them. These are tears of a shepherd who cares. And if we care for the church, I'm sure we will pray. And at times do we pray with real care for the church, not just because, prayer item is there. Okay, pray for this prayer item. But we must pray for care. If we love the church of God that he has given to us, if we love the flock, the fellow sheep that are around us or so, under the care of the divine shepherd. And so this morning, just have this few thoughts from this passage. I hope that it will cause us to be a little bit awake, to be a bit aware of the responsibility and accountability that we have. And let us be watchful over ourselves, those around us, especially if you're in the leadership or if God has called you to certain positions, then of course, right, all the more, pray for them. Right, and let us pray that the church will be protected, that God will be continue, that God will continue to be merciful and gracious to our church. Right, let us pray. Our Father and our God, we pray that you will continue to help us. O Lord, you know this people, you know this church that thou hast called unto yourself, that you have founded. It is thy work, O Lord, not the work of our hands. You have called us to be a member here. You have called us to contribute, to serve thee, Lord, in so many ways. Some have been here for a few years. Some have been here for decades, O Lord. And we pray that you will still continue to protect thy work. Lord, we pray that all of us will continue to be mindful of thy word always, to discern truth from error, to know what is right and what is wrong. Help us to be watchful over ourselves, O Lord, to be careful in our words, to be careful in our thinking, to be careful in our hearts, the things that we feel, the things that we say, the things that we ponder or discuss. We pray, O Lord, that you will help us to be good followers of thee, to be good sheep, not going astray, but following thy watchful care, thy watchful leading. We pray also especially for the families in the church, that, Lord, also you will be very mindful of them, that, Lord, you will continue to minister to them in your own special way. May you strengthen every house here, O Lord. And we pray too also for the children of the church. Lord, thou knowest what they will face in the future, the influences that will come. And we pray too that you will protect them in your own way. So, Father, we pray that whether we're young or old in this church, continue to help us to follow thy way, O Lord, to follow thy leading. For thou art our shepherd, and we are thy sheep, and we are bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, continue to guide us as we go into a season of prayer. May thy Spirit lead us and comfort us and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.